You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
From our studio to yours, this is Various Artists.
Ahiahi Marie, tēnā koutou katoa, ko mea toko ingoa.
Ko Sophia toko ingoa, no mai, haere mai ki Various Artists mō tēnei wiki. Kia ora mea, how are you today?
I'm good, the sun is shining.
Honestly, thank God, because last time I had a show on Wednesday, it was really ugly weather.
Oh no, I know, I feel
it
like
doom and gloom in
it
here.
Was getting like more sunny springtime weather, and then suddenly we just got hit with the cold and rain again.
Yeah, I'm bringing out my summer outfits.
Yes, no.
I'm so ready.
I'm wearing a dress, but yes, I still have pants underneath.
Yeah, that's the vibe.
It's a bit cold, yes.
We've got a lovely show today. If I can, coming up on the show, Maya, what have you got?
Yeah, I caught up with artist Zena Swanson about her current exhibition on at Suma, Their Seeds Are Winged and Born in Pairs. So what have you got?
I had a kōrero with Nick Austin about Breath Spectrum, a solo exhibition of his on at Coastal Science Gallery.
He aha o whakaro, we would love to hear your thoughts on these pieces. So tuku patahi mai, you can text us on 5395. Rima toru iwa rima, why mai rane? Or give us a call in the studio on 309-3879.
Also after the show, koa e ware ware e ahena koutou te whakarongo ki e nei kōrero anō hei pakihere rokiroki maronga i te pai tukutuku o irirangi poho me haere ki 95BFM erakati.com. You can catch all of these chats and more by podcast on the 95BFM website, 95BFM.com.
Oh, that's a good art!
Zena Swanson is an Ōtautahi Christchurch-based artist working amongst an artistic practice of painting, drawing, sculpture and installation. Her practice delves into the exploration of both the fluctuating and porous relationship between human and the natural world, often looking into these uncanny plant-related laws that occupy a slight nod to a darker view of humanity's relationship with the natural world. Her current exhibition on Atsuma, Their Seeds Are Winged and Born in Pairs, continues and builds on Swanson's exploration of the natural world, navigating its rhythms and textures. Within this exhibition, Swanson looks to the sycamore plant, specifically their seeds, producing an inquisitive new body of work that includes series of paintings, both acrylic on canvas and watercolor on paper, as well as human-scale sculptures in clay and painted steel, inviting us to look a bit closer at the natural world around us and ponder in its porous boundaries between humans. I had a kōrero with Zena Swanson about the show and overall practice. Would you like to start off by introducing yourself and your overall practice a little bit?
Yeah, my name's Zena Swanson. I'm an artist based in Ōtautahi. I guess I've been practicing for around 2 decades now, mainly based in Ōtautahi, but I've done, after the earthquakes, my partner and I moved to Tamaki for a year and a bit, and then I was in Dunedin for 2.5 years when I did the Francis Hodgkins Fellowship in 2013. In terms of my work, I guess my work uses pre-existing scientific, pseudoscientific and natural histories in order to kind of examine the way humans relate to the natural world. Yeah, I'm also really interested in anthropomorphism, which is the attribution of human form, physical features, emotions, personalities or behaviours to non-human. And in my case, I guess that's from the plant world.
Mm, wonderful. And I wanted to start this conversation by speaking to, you kind of already mentioned it, but this propelling and anchoring point of your practice, this exploration of the natural world and its connection and relationship with humans, often looking into these uncanny plant-related laws. What originally drew you to this navigation of the plant and human relationship?
It's really hard to pinpoint. My mum is an avid gardener and my dad is he's retired now, but he was a doctor in geology. So kind of those two, their background I think really influenced what I ended up being interested in. There's a particular work that I made at art school where I collected hundreds of rose thorns and put them on the top of a chair. And that was kind of the first work that I made that used natural materials and multiples, and really kind of kicked off my interest in collecting things, I guess.
Yeah, so with your mum as a gardener, you kind of grew up in that space of the natural world and really appreciating it and being around.
Like, I wasn't necessarily that interested in it when I was younger, but I have my own garden now, so that definitely affects a lot of my work.
Yeah, it's funny how things kind of seep into you without you knowing.
Yeah, definitely. And the art school work, like, it was really bad. But sort of, yeah, I still collect. That was kind of repetitive use of materials, and that's something that's kind of been with me since then. So it's quite interesting.
Mm.
Yeah.
And your current exhibition on at SUMA, Their Seeds Are Winged and Born in Pairs, presents a body of work showcasing a beautiful new series of sculptures and paintings, both acrylic on canvas and watercolour on paper. This series follows and builds upon your fascination with the natural world and its rhythms and textures, with this exhibition specifically drawing from the sycamore plant. Would you talk a bit about how the sycamore found its place as the starting point and the kind of opening for this new series of work?
So a lot of the time it's things from my own lived experience, and in this case it was no different. So I just found the seeds in my garden, in the backyard, and then I spent ages trying to find the parent tree, and I never actually found it. So I just collected the seeds and had them hanging in the studio for ages. I think I started by doing some really basic watercolour, kind of botanical sketches really, of the seeds. And then I started seeing them, so it ended up being that 17-piece watercolour series. So I started seeing them as eyebrows, and then it kind of grew and grew into this, you know, face, and then it disappears into the massive.
I remember in my own childhood playing with these seeds. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yep.
Yeah, so did you just, stumble upon them and really find this fascination with them?
Yeah, I guess things end up in the studio and they just kind of sit there for a while and end up making their way into the work a lot of the time. Yeah, and then I did the sort of direct botanical sketches of them, and then they grew into the watercolour series, and then I also made the terracotta seed forms.
Mm.
So for those, each one has an actual, so I press an actual seed into the back of the, into one side of the terracotta, and because I was doing like 800 plus, maybe, I ended up doing the seeds, like, they didn't last that long when you're pressing them in.
Mm.
The terracotta, they end up kind of disintegrating, I guess. So then I had to keep trying to find the seeds around my street, and I couldn't find the parent tree, so I just ended up being like this, skulking up and down the street looking for them.
Yeah, wonderful. You have talked about this watercolour as the starting point. It's the 17-part watercolour on paper that spans the whole length of this gallery wall, an intricate series that builds and unfolds as you physically move along the space alongside the works, beginning with a single pair of sycamore seeds that have separated to the 17th part where the face has been built up but then sunken back into its sea of seeds. Could you speak a bit to this work and its significance as this immersive series that plays with the building and the collapse of the human form?
Yeah, so I guess it started with those, I think the first three are quite kind of direct botanical drawings, and then it morphs into the eyebrows and the eyes and the full face structure, and then it gets sort of obliterated completely so you can barely tell that there's a face. At the time of making that work, I had sort of discovered this theory of, it's called plant blindness, and it was coined by two, I think, they're both educators and botanists, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So the sort of, I guess it's a theory that some people are unable to see plants in their natural environment. I guess it's kind of a cognitive, there's a little quote here I've got, the proposed form of cognitive bias, which in its broadest meaning is a human tendency to ignore plant species. And, so I guess that work kind of, I was thinking about those things when I was making that.
Yeah.
You know, humans tend to be, another great word was zoo chauvinist, so we tend to favour things that we can relate more directly to, like our own features. You know, animals, we can kind of anthropomorphise those, but plants, it's more difficult to do that. So, yeah, maybe that's the reason that some people pay less attention, even though they have such an important part in the biosphere, I guess,
And was it important, or did it just kind of like play out as this? Because it's a really large 17-part series that really forces the viewer to like move along in the space with it. Was that important to have that kind of movement in the series
definitely.
About it? Yeah,
definitely. And I feel like it can go either way as well. So whether you view it left to right or right to left, it sort of, I think it's interesting both ways. I kind of struggled with how to present it, actually. Like, initially it was going to be on a sort of a tabletop, so you look down at it. But,
I think it's quite wonderful. It's kind of at face height.
Exactly. So that was the what I.
Yeah, it connects the connects the body in a wonderful way.
Yes.
Yeah, and as you move through the gallery, the work continues this divagation between the push and pull of human form and the form of the plant and natural world, blurring these boundaries between human and plant. I want to speak a little bit about the figures and human forms within your work. Some appear to represent more of a general sense of a human, while others seem to lean more into specific features, maybe even becoming a self-portrait. Could you speak a bit to this?
Definitely there are two self-portraits in there. Partner always jokes about how I make myself look horrible. But often it's the case that I'm just here. So, you know, I take a really bad photo of myself on my phone and then use that as the, you know, to draw, to paint from that. But a lot of the time, I guess, especially with the 17-piece one, it's sort of, like I'm kind of thinking about a more generic human, and not me.
And this body of work has this real element of repetition within it, repeated motifs, forms and imagery that circulate the gallery space, indicators of human features or their presence intermingled with the plant world that almost warrant an element of unsettlement. Bringing these features into the three-dimensional are these human-scaled sculptures that sit amongst the show, mimicking the likes of the human spine as well as the falling seed pods themselves. Could you speak a little bit about the translation of these forms and ideas from the paintings and kind of get into these sculptural explorations of them? Does the sculptural element kind of add something to the series that the paintings can't quite articulate by themselves?
Yeah, I think also just back to the self-portrait and the paintings, I kind of consider those sculptures to be a sort of self-portrait too, because they're based exactly on my height. And I suppose the thing with sculpture is, you know, it gets in your space more than a painting can. So you have to walk around it and it has a direct relationship to the body, which is always, like, I'm always thinking about the relationship to the body, mine and the viewers, when I'm making sculptures. With those pieces, I started with making the terracotta seeds, and I actually always intended that I would make a shirt that the seeds would be attached to, which would then hang on the coat hanger.
Mm-hmm.
But when I had amassed like hundreds of them and then I threaded them on the piano wire, it just became super obvious that they were like a spine. And so I kept the coat hanger as like a reference to head and shoulders, I guess. Yeah, I suppose I've always been interested in repetition, and this is no different, this show. Someone did say to me, why don't I cast them all? And it just seemed so obvious that I wouldn't. Because, you know, each one has a different... I used pins and dentistry tools to do the faces, so each one has like a different expression of anguish, I guess.
Yeah, when I first walked in, I saw them and I was like, oh my god, there's so many of them. I thought that you may have casted them, but then when I got up close and Dan also gave me one to take home.
Oh, good.
It's sitting in my room. I love it so much.
Nice.
You get close to it and look at all those features and those impressions of the sycamore seed, and that's so beautiful, those little imperfections and those.
I definitely get sort of enjoyment from making like extreme multiples, I guess. It can become quite a meditative process, which I really enjoy.
Yeah, and it kind of relates to those, when you're a child and you're rummaging in the grass and you constantly find them and touch each one and kind of do it, and it's got that personal element of connection and to the hand to all of them.
Yeah. And of course no two seeds are the same, are they? So
no.
Why would you cast them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And included in the show, you also have these small green pieces of paper displaying a poem that you have written for the exhibition on offer to take and hold while viewers walk around the gallery. And also, which I think is lovely, is to also take home into the viewers' own lives with them. With that in mind, do you have any hopes or nuggets of thought that you wish for people to bump up against or just feel through experiencing this body of work?
In terms of the text, I kind of hoped that it functioned as like a vague insight into the making process and into the plant, the sycamore plant itself. In terms of what people take away, I think if people feel anything, it's kind of a win. And I guess if it encourages people to notice things differently in the natural world, then that's also a good thing. Whereas in my shows, I've never really had a specific something in mind that I want people to go away with. Yeah, but when I make the works, my relationship always with a specific plant material that I'm using, my relationship with it always changes, like forever. Like I've done works with daisies and nettles, and so my relationships with those things has changed forever. So maybe if it does that to the viewer, then that's also a good thing.
Yeah.
An interesting thing for them. I don't know if they notice things differently then.
Yeah, beautiful. No, it definitely had that effect on me. It's
Oh, good.
Yeah, no, something that I hadn't really, I don't know, taken much thought of since I was a child. Yes. Suddenly you're in a room full of them and you think thinking about them in a different way and appreciating them in a different way and kind of, bringing new ideas and contexts around them, and having that little poem and that little piece to take home is kind of that reminder.
Good. That's good. It's the first little piece of writing I've kind of put physically out into the world, so it's a little bit nerve-wracking, but
That's beautiful.
I enjoy writing those things, so
Yeah, it's beautiful, and I think it's a wonderful accompaniment to the show as well.
Oh, thank you.
All good.
That was Zena Swanson speaking to me about her current exhibition at SUMA, Their Seeds Are Winged and Born in Pairs, which is on until the 4th of October.
Only positive critiques. Honest.
Various artists.
We've now got 100 Horses by Geese. Enjoy.
Music Store in Newmarket is Aotearoa's newest destination for vintage and pre-loved music gear.
With GoCooler, you can save money on your music setup without skimping on quality. Plus, students get a 10% discount. GoCooler have a wide range of sick equipment from Squires, Yamahas, Epiphones, LTDs, and more.
GoCooler Music is open Wednesday till Sunday, 10 till 4. Find GoCooler Music on Facebook, spelled G-O-K-U-L-A. GoCooler Music Store, 378 Broadway, Newmarket.
Roll a nat 20 on your plans this week with improvised Dungeons & Dragons theatre show. Can I get an underground location and a mythical creature?
Roll the dice for the players and see what happens.
Will the wizard fight the dragon?
Will the goblin drink the poison?
Will the mystical beast fall in love with the bard and set everyone free?
Can I get an underground location and a mythical creature? Pump House Theatre. On now till Sunday. Tickets from pumphouse.co.nz.
What can I get for you?
Yeah, can I grab a funky wasp?
Smooth or seedy?
Just how it comes is fine.
Son of a bitch.
So quite a complicated... Quite a complicated drink then.
What? Yeah. I'm going to be 37.50, mate. Actually, just make it 37, because I like your attitude.
Cocktail Corner, 5:30 every Thursday on 95 BFM Drive, thanks to Decibel Wines.
Wow, we get along so well. I feel like I've known you my whole life.
I know, it's crazy. I'd love to see you again.
Sorry, I just have to ask. Your hoodie is so random. What is 95 BFM?
Oh. I knew this was too good to be true.
What? Wait, where are you going?
No!
Show the world exactly who you are with our range of classic 95 BFM merch. From the BSA slogan t-shirt to ringer tees and hoodies, get yours now at twotonesmerch.co.nz.
Hello, my little sparrows. If you're listening right now, then this message was meant for you. Claim it if it resonates. I've got my tarot deck here. I'm going to pull a card to illuminate an intention for you. Just shuffling. Ooh, it's the B card. This card represents prosperity, greatness, clout. Oh, I love this for you. Expect an abundance of free things. Music, merch, coffee, ticket.
Get a B card today from 95bfm.com for just $4.20 a month and be in to win tickets, albums, and more.
Hey, New Zealand artists!
Here's some good news, straight from the horse's mouth.
We know it can be hard out there, so we just made it a whole lot cheaper for artists to advertise on 95BFM.
We've just launched new advertising packages that offer big discounts for Kiwi musicians, theatre makers, filmmakers, dancers, writers, arts orgs...
or anything similar, kind of like that or in between.
Check out all the details on 95BFM.com to see if you qualify, or email the sales team for more info.
Still be having some fun.
Yes, darling, but is it art?
Breath Spectrum is a solo exhibition by Nick Austin currently on at Coastal Science Gallery. Through an assemblage of found objects, sculpture, and archive, Austin invites the viewer into a space by which they are confronted with the material contemplation of aging, life, legacy, and the afterlife. Bringing together intersections of labor, the domestic, artistic, recreational, and industrial, the line between art and archive is blurred. In this space, we are asked to question where our things go when we're finished with them, where do we go when we're finished, and how will we be remembered? With transistor radios, chewing gum, ovens, eggs, tennis rackets and balls, and crosswords each present in the space, Austin summons curiosity and inquiry into these objects that may first appear random, but really mask the seriousness of his exploration. I had a corridor with Nick Austin about Breath Spectrum and his overall practice.
I've been working since the early 2000s, and so my practice has been developing for about 25 years or something like that. I work across a range of media, so I studied sculpture, usually in that time, like found object sculpture. That was something I was just very adept at. I wasn't very technically a very skillful maker of things, and I found that gathering things together, found objects, making a kind of sculptural assemblage practice was something I was quite good at doing. So I'm quite interested in these kind of surrealistic aspects of, or surrealistic effects of work. So works that have a sense of surprise, and that is definitely connected to how humour works. So often when we laugh, you know, surprise precedes laughter. So that's something that I'm just interested in, the kind of cognition of how humour works and trying to explore that through a sculptural practice. So that's like one kind of strand of the work. I'm really interested in like certain like tonal aspects of work. So as I said, I'm interested in humour. I'm also interested in like sadness and how those two things can kind of coexist. Also, I'm interested in just like thought processes. So one of my very first shows was called Concrete Thought, and it was about just kind of materially articulating thought processes. So that's another aspect of the work, like a tradition. I've talked about surrealism, but there's also a tradition of like concrete poetry, found poetry. I think that's another tradition within which my work sits. Language is a big part of the work as well. So relationship between image and language, image and text.
Talking about this current exhibition, Breath Spectrum, at Coastal Science, you're bringing together a collection of new assemblage sculptures, creating a space in which the viewer is prompted to contemplate these concepts of aging, life and legacy. I guess starting at the beginning there, what kind of began your interest in this exploration of the subject matter conceptually?
There are six works in the exhibition, and one of the very early works was adapted from a presentation I gave at my workplace. So I work at a place called the Hocken Library in Dunedin, which is one of the university libraries, and it's a research library that has all sorts of collections, so not just books. We've got maps, archives, music, film, and I work with the art and photography collections there. So in my day-to-day work, I do a lot of research services for remote users and on-site visitors to the collections. And just in my kind of daily work, I come across quite interesting collections of photographs in particular. And I found a collection of photographs taken at the Brinsley Oven Factory, or the Brinsley Works, on Jutland Street in Dunedin. And it's quite a rare, quite an unusual document of working life in a sort of industrial environment. And so I found these photos of these men working in the oven factory. And as it happens, the oven factory is situated on the same site, or in fact, next door, I think, to where a warehouse residence was a few years ago, which had all these parties. And so there was this kind of psychogeography about that space that I was struck by. So this kind of coincidence of occupation there, the oven factory and the warehouse parties. And really good parties there with bands playing. And one of the bands was a friend's band called Negative Nancy's. And I just thought it would be fun and funny to make a kind of a Negative Nancy's music video. And so the work in the show is this like a Ken Burns effect slideshow of the photographs taken that I just took on my phone with this Negative Nancy song, and that forms the slideshow, and then the projector sits upon an oven that was made at the factory. So that was part of the work. I sort of wonder, I've spent my time thinking about the value of all these collections that I work with, and also thinking about like the relationship between like museums and op shops. And junkyards, and where does our stuff end up? I think I'm interested in this really fine line between something that's really precious and something that is a piece of garbage. And I think that's a line that a lot of the works are walking in the show. I'm also interested in how things are remembered, and also as an artist who is now, I guess, basically in middle age and stuff, just thinking about as a person as an artist what my legacy will be and what each of our legacies are, how we're remembered.
Beautiful, yeah, some really interesting ideas. I kind of want to flesh them out a little bit with particular reference to the sculptures within the show and the materials used. There's a lot of variety here. You're intersecting labour, the domestic, industrial, recreational and artistic, bringing together the likes of transistor radios, ovens, eggs, tennis rackets and balls and crosswords into one space. They do kind of tend to fall, I guess, within this kind of 20th century era of production, and are often juxtaposed with other objects to kind of deepen your inquiry. How do you kind of see the relationship between these ideas of life and legacy that guide the show and your sculptural materials?
I think you're right. There's a real manual aspect to the works. And I guess I'm interested in the patina and the texture of materials and how their former lives, traces of their former life before they became art, can be held onto. I think that's part of their kind of energy that they retain that. I'll tell you about one of the works in the show. So it's a series of six mirrors that I've bought in op shops, and on each of the mirrors I've inscribed a name of a New Zealand artist, and the names of the artists: Margaret Stoddart, Frances Hodgkins, Grace Joel, Evelyn Page and Shona McFarlane, I think may kind of like confuse or puzzle some viewers. Who are these people? They're all artists. They're all 19th century New Zealand artists. They're all women. And the thing that binds them together is that they have all of their names are now the names of a brand of retirement village in New Zealand. And I was just, I guess, as someone who works in libraries and stuff, I'm quite interested in like weird like classification systems and subject headings and stuff like that. And I was just very struck by this curious relationship that all these artists have, like that's what they have in common. And the fact that I put the names on mirrors, I guess, allows the viewer to kind of, you know, project themselves onto the frame and consider what, like, isn't that weird? Wouldn't it be so weird to have a rest home named after you? And obviously those artists would never have imagined such a thing. What a strange way to be remembered.
I wouldn't know what to make of that if that happened to me. You don't know how to feel. Yeah, I guess you kind of touched on it a bit earlier with the oven work and the moving image with that and your job and archives. But I guess I kind of wanted to flesh out a little bit more because audio is a big accompanying part of the exhibition,
yes.
Both with that work but also with the radio.
Yes.
Talk to me a little bit about how you kind of see that relationship. How do you kind of see the audio and this moving image work enhancing what you're trying to communicate in the sculptural works?
Well, I think this show is the first time I've used audio. And again, I think the radio's work, so the radio work, which is the title of the title of the work is Breath Spectrum, and it's a series of six identical transistor radios on wall ledges, and accompanying the six transistor radios are six different flavours of the Airwaves chewing gum. And I guess that was just sort of like the sound, so this, all the radios are turned on to AM frequency and they're all broadcasting a different station, so what you hear is just this total babble. You know, the sound has a physical quality because it's coming from the radio, so if you get close to the radio, the object itself, you can start hearing, you can hear each of the different stations clearer. So I just think in that case the sound is kind of like a found object. I've sort of treated it as a sculptural thing. And I think you'll find that most of the works have sort of three elements. So in that case it's the sound, it's the transistor radios, and it's the chewing gum. I try and work in groups of three. I think that's a good structure to base work around or something like that. And then I was interested in the language. So, the transistor radios, it's just like a found sound. With the Negative Nancy's music video, I was just interested in that particular song. I was interested in Negative Nancy's because of their connection to the place, the Jutland Street site. But that particular song is about, it's called G-O-S-T, which you'll hear when you listen to the lyrics, stands for Get Our Shit Together. And obviously that sense of, you know, that tradition of making artwork, singing songs about not doing anything, I love that. And I really like the relationship between this kind of artistic, creative work that in this case is about not doing work. I like the relationship between that and the photographs of the guys working, these factory workers doing their thing. The kind of juxtaposition, all these different kinds of labour sitting along next to each other. And the sound, that particular sound is quite, you know, it's really raw, it's cool.
In terms of process, I'm quite interested. Would you say you're more materially driven or conceptually driven? What kind of comes first for you? Can you talk me through that?
I guess a condition of the work is that I don't have a lot of time. So I tend to carry around my little notebook and I'll just kind of like work will formulate as a recipe. So I'll just carry around notes and I'll write down ideas for artworks, and often the process of being in the studio is really one of execution. Sometimes I really wish it wasn't like that, because you really need time. Ideally you've got to allow for contingency, and that's when the good stuff happens, when you end up in a place not where you thought you might start off. However, oftentimes my work is quite prescribed, weirdly. But you'll see from the show, it's sort of quite effortless in a way. It's just like some stuff put together, but I spend a lot of time thinking about it.
For those who do come and see the show, how do you kind of hope viewers engage with the works and these ideas?
A quality of art, of any art experience, is you leave a gallery and you look at the world in a different way or something. And maybe somehow that's what I would like viewers to have happen for viewers. I think another really cool effect of art is that you can see possibilities. Just sort of seeing the work physically installed in the gallery, I think it's there's sort of like the question, is it a museum, is it a junk shop? And I guess I touched on that earlier at the start of the interview, but I think I like that tension that the show overall kind of occupies.
That was artist Nick Austin speaking to me about Breath Spectrum, a solo exhibition of his currently on at Coastal Science Gallery until the 25th of October. We're now listening to a track from Negative Nancy's, which Nick Austin references in the show and has included in the show, called GOST. You're on 95BFM.
So you can go to the opening for more than just the snacks.
And hiding where you're from. It's the 95BFM Art Guide on various artists.
It's paintings in that.
This week in the wonderful world of art in Tamaki Makaurau, as mentioned on the show, Zena Swanson's Their Seeds Are Winged and Born in Pairs is on at Suma until the 4th of October.
Also, as mentioned on the show, Breath Spectrum by Nick Austin is on at Coastal Science Gallery until the 25th of October.
Tomorrow is the last day to see Dialogues and Video Art Part 2, which is on at George Fraser Gallery.
Razzle Dazzle by Martin Thompson is on until the 18th of October at Charles Nino Gallery.
Simon Denny's The Future is on at Michael Lett Gallery until the 11th of October.
Tale is a group exhibition on at Melanie Roger Gallery until the 4th of October.
Reese King's Drop Sheet Snow Angel is on at Anna Miles Gallery until the 16th of October.
Tom Collicott's Constellation is on at Grace Gallery until the 18th of October.
Thea McDonald's The Oshima Gang is on at Room until the 11th of October. Also currently on at Room is Paige Jansen, A Box for All Things I'll Never Learn, also on until the 11th of October.
Gus Fisher Gallery's new group exhibition, What We Choose to Remember, as well as Chevron Hassett's Aroha Ki Te Tangata, is on until the 13th of December. If you have something you want on the Art Guide, you can email us at arts@95bfm.com.
That was the 95BFM Art Guide.
Ko ira te hōtaka katoa mō tēnei wiki, nei te mihi kia koutou katoa I kōrero mai ki māua mō tēnei rā.
That's all for various artists for today. Ngā mihi nui to everyone who spoke with us.
Nick Austin.
Zena Swanson.
Nei rā hoki te mihi kia koutou e whakarongo ana. Thanks for tuning in.
And remember, you can listen back to all of today's pieces on 95BFM.com or check out our Instagram, 95BFM Various Artists, for more.
Ka hoki mai mātou a tērā wiki. Next up is The Land of the Good Groove with Mari. My name is Sophia.
I'm Maya.
And that was Various Artists.
We'll catch you next week.
You're listening to 95BFM. FM. Ka kite.
Ka kite.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.